song. Sister Renee Hill wrote that probably, I don't know, over 20 years ago. I'll never forget the first time I heard it. It encouraged me then, and it still encourages me today. Kind of makes me want to just walk on. There's that new manor this weekend up in North Carolina. The young lady in the church had written a song, and they sang it in the service yesterday morning, and the title of it was Fight On. Fight On. Don't give up the fight. Amen. Fight again tomorrow. Fight again Tuesday. Don't ever quit. Amen. Brother Fisher preached the message while we was there. You can be turning to 1 Kings chapter number 19. Brother Fisher preached the message. He may do it when he gets here for our camp meeting, first week of November. But the premise of his message was this. Whatever happens, whatever mistake you may make, don't quit. There are people out of church this morning because they're embarrassed to come back. Don't quit. Walk on. Fight on. I want to do something this morning I was really weary of. And I prayed and I double-checked the Lord. You ever do that over and over? You ever question the Lord? Now, Lord, are you sure? Probably if there's ever anybody sure, it'd be Him. Yet we still question Him. He asks us to do things sometimes and it don't make sense to us. He didn't ask us to understand. He asked us to obey. And I struggled with this, and the Lord woke me up about 3:30 this morning and confirmed it again. And still, I was a little rebellious and wanting to go in a different direction. And I'll tell you why. I've never done this before. I just preached this message right here 3 weeks ago. You said, you're going to preach a rerun that quick? If I'm going to obey Him, I am. I preached it on a Wednesday night. Of course, our teens were out, and our patch and our peewee club was out. It was just a good crowd, but dismal for us. One of our men said to me after the service, you need to preach that on Sunday morning. And I didn't think nothing else about it. This entire weekend, and I got away. It does me good to get away. And spend some time by myself with the Lord and in this book. And I'm preparing for Sunday morning. All I can hear is that voice saying, you need to preach that on a Sunday morning. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe sometime next year when they've forgotten 3 weeks ago. I could preach the same message once a year for 10 years and it'd be new to you every time you heard it. New to me too. Amen. I wrestled with the Lord and wrestled with the Lord, and finally I said, okay, I don't care what people think. I don't care what I want. God, if you have your way, somebody might just get some help. 1 Kings chapter number 19, if you know your Bible even a little bit, how many of you remember Elijah? Great man of God. One of my Old Testament heroes. I love Elijah. I love to read about him. Fascinating stories. I believe his stories would make good movies. Amen. I would love to see a movie about the chapter number 18. Just the chapter before 19, of course, is 18. In chapter 18, Elijah challenges, if you know the Bible, the prophets of Baal, the devil worshippers of that day, if you will. He challenged them to a contest and said, let's build an altar and let the God that answers by fire, you pray to your God, I pray to mine, whichever God answers by fire, we'll let him be God.
Amen.
They took him up on the challenge, they cried and hollered and rolled around on the ground and couldn't get their God's attention. By the way, that's the way it is with a dead God.
Amen.
They don't seldom answer, they never answer.
Amen.
Why? Because a dead God ain't able to do anything.
Amen.
Elijah makes fun of him. He steps up to the altar. He tells him to cover it with water and dig a ditch around him, fill the ditch full of water. Sounds like a confident preacher.
Yeah.
Don't just prepare the altar, wet it. They're trying to burn wet wood. Tough job. Elijah prays a little short prayer. I believe the whole time he's praying, he's backing up. Because he's fully confident in his heart the fire's fixing to fall. And the fire falls and consumes the offering, burns up the altar, licks up the water, even burns the dust off the ground. What a story. But it don't end there. My favorite part is yet to come. I know I got a sick mind. My favorite part should have been God answering by fire. And that was awesome. But my favorite part was when it's all done, them 400 prophets of Baal, Elijah kills them. By himself, 400 men kills them. Now that's just cool. I said, preacher, you're sick. I know it. It's just fascinating. Now if there's any time I'm going to be on a mountaintop, if there's any time I'm going to be on shouting ground, it's right after I prayed fire down from heaven. How many of y'all pulled that off? I just prayed down fire from heaven. I just killed 400 devil worshipers. My chest might be poking out if I had one. I'd be a little bit sure of myself, and I'd be a lot more sure of my God. But chapter number 19 opens in a different light. The wicked queen Jezebel sends Elijah a message and says, this time tomorrow, you're going to be as one of them. In other words, I'm about to have done to you what you did to them prophets of Baal. Now remember, he just prayed down fire. He just killed 400 prophets. He's having a great day. But one message changes his entire demeanor. One phone call can change your life. You can have the greatest service in the world on Sunday morning. People saved, people in the altar. You can leave this place shouting glory to God and hallelujah in one phone call.
Yes, indeed.
One post, one tweet, one text. Change your entire outlook.
Amen.
On even life. This big fire prayer down it. This big prophet of Baal killer is sitting under a juniper tree asking the Lord to kill him. Now when you want to die, that's about as depressed as you can get. Would you agree? When you're down to the point, when you get so down that you're at the point that you don't want to or no longer have a desire to live, you're in bad shape. Look at verse number 9. He's under the juniper tree. Back up in verse number 4. The angel of the Lord comes to him and feeds him. And they do that twice. And he goes on the strength of it for 40 days. In verse number 9, the Bible said, and he came thither unto a, say it with me, a cave. And he, say the next word, lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? The Bible said that Elijah came to a cave, and he lodged there. When you come to a place to lodge, you've come to a place to stay. Every time, just about, we read about caves in the Bible, it's associated with a time of trouble, a time of trial, a time of testing, a time of hiding. Just about every time you see somebody in a cave, Brother Charles, they're hiding. When things get bad, that's the first thing we want to do is hide. You can follow the principle of first mention. Adam and Eve sinned. What'd they do? They hid. Adam, where are you at? Well, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. How do you know you're naked? That woman you gave. Just like a man. Every time you find caves, you find somebody in distress, somebody depressed, somebody down, somebody troubled. I realize in my own life that cave experiences, I'm talking about spiritually, are a part of life. I don't care who you are, how spiritual you are, you can have a red cape and a big S on your chest, super Christian. You're going to go through the cave experiences of life. I've been in them. I don't like them. But I've come to realize for God to get out of me what God wants to get out of me, sometimes those caves are necessary. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. Sometimes God has nothing to do with it at all. Sometimes it's not the Holy Spirit that leads me into a cave, but the evil spirit. Are we listening? All kind of caves. There's caves that don't last very long. They're very shallow, but nevertheless, it's still a cave. You have to deal with it today, and it's gone tomorrow. But then there are other caves. Seems like there's no end to it. Have you ever been in a situation, a spiritual cave, if you will, that you thought you'd never get out of it? That you thought, I'm not coming out of this one. There's no way out of this difficulty. There's no way out of this dilemma. But glory to God, hear you say it. What you thought was the end was just part of the journey.
Yes, sir.
It's all kind of caves. Caves of sin. I remember getting delivered out of that one. David said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard my voice.
Yes.
Said he lifted me up also out of a horrible pit.
Yes.
Set my feet on the rock and established my goal. David said, I was in a cave of sin and I cried out unto God and he lifted me up.
Yes, sir. Glory God.
Thank God for a God who delivers.
Yes.
Wicked sinners deserving of hell.
Yes.
When we cry unto him, he'll pull us up out of that cave.
Amen.
Of sin.
Praise the Lord.
There's caves of sorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't nothing in the world hurts like a broken heart.
Amen.
There's no feeling that could ever compare to a broken heart. I worship the ground my great-grandfather walked on. I was just a young boy. I have never known anybody that died, far as I know. Never personal, nobody close to me that ever died. My grandfather passed away and died with emphysema. And I remember jumping on my horse, riding to the back side of the pasture. There's a big rock back there in the woods I've sat on and squirrel hunt. I crawled up on that rock. I cried like I'd never cried in my life. I'd never felt that kind of pain.
Amen.
Sorrow can be a deep, dark, lonely place.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got a God who can deliver not only from a cave of sin, but a cave of sorrow.
Yes, sir.
There are caves of suffering. The Bible said that we would suffer for the cause of Christ. It hurts when somebody you love sticks a knife about that deep in your back. It hurts when people you trust prove untrustworthy. In this life, people will do you wrong. If we're not careful, we can allow that to drive us in one of those cave experiences. There's caves of self-pity.
Oh, yeah.
You ever have a pity party?
Yeah.
Come on, you be honest this morning.
Yeah.
A not going to get up here and pretend that everything's always banana splits and Oreo blizzards. It ain't that way. There are days when I get in such a hole and such a funk that I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to hear from nobody. I mean, I'm patting myself on the back saying, bless your little heart. I know it's wrong, but we do it.
Sure.
I do it, and you do it. Elijah was doing it. Oh, it was shouter out time and fire was falling. But now when the threat's on, I just want to die. Won't you just take my life, Lord? I don't want to live. That's depression, friend. You say Christians shouldn't get depressed. I know. It doesn't change the fact that we do. I heard one preacher preaching one time. I was in a camp meeting, and he said, if you're dealing with depression, you just need to get right with God. And I thought, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Right.
You need to get in your truck and go to town a little more.
Right.
You need to get out of your little office.
Yeah. Right.
Get out in the real world and see the heartache.
Right.
See the busted homes and the wayward kids. See the mess and the havoc the devil is wreaking on this world. Why don't you, big boy, in your big boy britches, when you get to heaven, stick your finger in the face of the mighty prophet and tell him to get right with God. Tell it to Moses.
Amen.
I
don't care who you are. We get down. Cave or a fact of life. Some of y'all heard this, and I apologize. But you need to hear it again.
Right. Amen.
You might have missed something that first time around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead and put that first picture up, if you would, Miss Gina. Last month, this is October already, isn't it?
Yeah.
August, 2 months ago, my wife and I went on vacation to the country of Belize. And don't think we're rich because we went to Belize. My son works for Delta, and we fly for free. We can go out of the country cheaper than we can go to Panama City. Our room for the week was $500, so there. You can't go to Lake Altoona for that. Anyway, we went to the country of Belize. My wife got on the interweb before we left looking at things to do. And of all the things to do, I'm thinking horseback riding on the beach. Brother Chris, I'm down with that. I thought, what? I think I saw them riding horses out in the water. I thought, boy, I'd like to do that. I saw a thing where you could rent dune buggies. Go mud riding. Oh, I felt the redneck swelling up then. I can handle that. My wife said, I found something I want to do. I want to go cave tubing. In other words, ride an inner tube through a cave. Bats live in caves. And there ain't no telling what else. And I'm thinking, I ain't sure about cave tubing. But a happy wife is a happy life.
Amen.
So we didn't ride horses on the beach. We went cave tubing. The Lord showed me some things on that trip through talking to and listening to our guide, and I shared them with the church a few weeks ago, and I'm going to share them with you this morning. Come sometime this spring, March, we'll celebrate 24 years being the pastor of this church. 24 years. I praise the Lord for that. But in 24 years, I could tell you story after story after story where I saw people go into a cave and they've never come out. Something happened, circumstance changed. I've had people stand up and testify, I'll never leave this church. You can't find them with the FBI. What happened? Circumstance. Trouble, trial, dilemma, discouragement, depression. They went in the cave and they never come out. Somebody may be in a cave this morning, in a dark place in your life. I want you to come out.
Amen.
The Lord may leave you in there for a time, but He didn't allow you to go in the cave, even if the devil put you there. Even if you put yourself there. He didn't allow you to go in that cave to die. He allowed you to go in that cave to learn something about yourself, to learn something about Him, and to come out on the other side a little closer than you were before you went in. Our guide was a young man named Thomas, young Belizean fellow, and he was very knowledgeable. I mean, brother, he knew everything there was to know about that river and them caves and the jungle or rainforest, I think they call it. We had to hike about a mile through a rainforest before we got to the river, carrying a big old inner tube. Again, not something I favor on vacation. But it was fun. He had stopped and break off the limbs or bushes, leaves, and he is telling us how you can survive in the rainforest. And he'd say, "Here, eat this." You'd chew on it and think, "Man, that's pretty good." And he's showing us stuff not to eat. And we got to a tree that had a big old knot on the side of it. I thought it was a termite nest. He put his hand on that termite nest and them things just crawled all over his hand. Had termites all over his hand. Then he did something that blew my mind. He started eating them. He said, "They're good. They taste like milk." He offered one. There was another couple. It was just my wife and I and another couple. He offered some to the other husband. He said, "No, thank you." He offered some to the other wife, and she said, "No, thank you." He offered some to me. I said, "Are you kidding? I had lobster for supper last night. I ain't fixing to eat a bug. We're having barbecue chicken. When this is over, I ain't eating no bug." And my little meat, mild mannered wife spoke up and said, "I'll try one." I thought, "Who are you?" And she did. She ate a termite. Said it tasted like mint. I ain't kissed her since. Thank God it wasn't a cockroach. Amen. But it was a very educational trip. We got to the river. And I was asking questions about the cave. Is there bats in there? Oh yeah, there's bats in there. How long is it? It's a little over a mile. In the cave? He said, "Yeah." And Thomas said something. When we got to the river, we had built a fire. Not because we was cold, because we was getting eat up by mosquitoes. We built a fire to ward the bugs off. And we're standing there talking about what we were fixing to do, and he was telling me some things I could expect in the cave and some things we'd see. And I said, "Man, I'm telling you," I said, "I'm a little claustrophobic. I don't like them tight, dark spaces." And he said something I won't never forget. He said, "Trust me. Trust me." He said, "If you'll trust me and do what I say, you're going to have a great time. If you'll just trust me and do what I say, you're going to have a great time." Now listen, if you don't learn to navigate the caves in your life, there will be one you'll go in, and you won't ever come out. The devil will claim another victory among our people because you did not learn to navigate. In other words, how to get through the caves in your life. He said some things to me that is what I'm going to preach to you this morning. Turn to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Our guide said, "Trust me. If you'll trust me and do what I say, you're going to have a great time." And we did. John chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Lord said, "Howbeit, when he," who is he? "The Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, what's the next word? Guide you into all truth. Number one this morning, when you find yourself in one of the caves of life, listen to me. Number one, follow your guide.
Amen.
Thank God we have not been left without God. Let me just say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad He didn't leave us here to try to figure this out on our own. But I'm glad there's somebody in the back of the inside of me. Somebody who can whisper that inner man and say, go this way, go that way, do this, don't do that. Thank God for that indwelling God that lives within me. Here's our problem. We find ourselves in the cave and we want to listen to everybody else. Well, bless God, I'll tell you what I'd do. You need to turn that out.
Amen.
Oprah can't help you in the cave.
Right.
Dr. Phil can't help you in the cave. Howdy Doody down in Houston.
Yeah.
Amen.
Can't help you in the cave.
Amen.
Let me carry that a little further. Eddie White in Villarica, Georgia. Can't guide you in the cave. But I'm glad if you're saved, if you know God, you may feel like He's a million miles away, but if you know God, there's something down on the inside of you that if you'll rely on that God, He'll get you through. Hey, somebody sitting here this morning, you need a word from God. You need the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart. Help you in that deep, dark place you found yourself. Here's what Thomas said, our guide. He said, trust me, I know the way. He said, this ain't my first trip through the cave. He said, what you don't understand was when I was 3 years old, I was going through this cave on an inner tube in my daddy's lap. He said, I've been going in one end of this cave and out the other all my life. He said, a matter of fact, it's what I do for a living. I thought, I'm glad my God. This ain't his first trip through the cave. I'm glad my God. I'm talking about the Spirit of truth. I'm talking about the sweet Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad this ain't the first time he's ever had to lead somebody and guide somebody through a dark place. He said, matter of fact, that's his job. To lead us and to guide us. Thomas said, what you don't know is my daddy started the cave guiding business. He said, my father was the very first one in the country of Belize to start the cave guiding business. Somebody get with me right here. He said that. I thought, oh, good God Almighty, I couldn't help it. I got a little happy. And I thought, oh, my father was the one who invented the cave guiding business. He started back there in the Garden of Eden. And he guided them out of caves through every book, every chapter in the Word of God. Thank God you got a guide this morning that is trustworthy. And he's worthy to be followed. You get in the cave, the devil will give you every option in the world. You remember that little cartoon with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other? The angel's going, dum, 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 dum. And the devil's going, eh, eh, eh. Oh, he'll give you an option. But he won't give you a good option. I'm feeling down. I'm so discouraged. I don't think I'm going back to church.
Ooh.
That's not good.
That's the devil over here.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That's it.
That's the devil over here. I'm so depressed. I'm gonna call a psychic. That's the devil over here.
Yeah. Right.
I call them sickies. I don't ever tell anybody bad news. You call a psychic, you're going to meet somebody tall, dark, and handsome. You're going to come into money. They don't ever call and say, you're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. I'd stay home if I was you. You've got cancer, you'll be dead in a week. They tell people what they want to hear. The devil will line somebody up to tell you what you want to hear.
That's right.
What you learn in the cave is not always what you want to hear. Maybe what you needed to hear. I said, number one, you find yourself in the cave following God.
Amen.
He said, if you'll just do what I say, we don't have a good time. And what was amazing was he was never in front of them through the whole trip. He was behind them. I couldn't see him. I could hear everything he said. All the way through that cave, he was instructing us, telling us what this is and what that is. There was stalactites hanging from the ceiling. In the Greek, that's a rock. Growing off the ceiling of the cave. There were stalagmites on the bottom. That's Greek for rock growing out of the ground. And bats. And that's about all there was. But it was amazing. Going through this life, I've never seen the Holy Ghost. But he's been behind me every step of the way. I've never got to lay eyes on him, but I've heard his voice day after day after day after day after day after day. When I think it's over and I ain't going to make it, thank God for the Lord even calls him the Comforter. He said, when the Comforter is come. I love that song our kids sing. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I don't know how many times the Holy Ghost has reaffirmed in my heart.
Amen.
You're going to make it.
Amen.
I know it's hard, but you're going to make it. Follow God.
Amen.
Take your Bible right to the middle of your Bible. Psalms 119. You may be able to quote this morning. Listen to it if you need it. Somebody's in a cave this morning. If you ain't, you will be. You say, well, I'm on cloud nine. You're going to be on cloud bottom before you know it. That's just life. Psalms chapter 119, say amen when you get there.
Amen.
I know, even if you can quote it, I want you to look at it. Verse 105. Psalms 119, verse 105.
Amen.
The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
I said, number one, when you go in a cave, follow your guide.
Amen.
Number two, listen carefully, you better find your light.
Amen.
We said it again, you better find your light. That's me and Sister Angie sitting in the inner tube. That's the mouth of the cave. We're about to go in. That's my big nose in the corner down there. Can you see that light on my head? Before we went into the cave, Thomas said, all right, cut your lights on. I cut my light on. I said, I can't tell. Is it working? I'm out in the sunshine. I can't tell it's on top of my head. I can't tell if it's shining or not. He said, put your hand right there. I put my hand right there and it was on. What I'm trying to say is, where I was, I didn't need it. I could see fine. But where I was going, that light made all the difference in the world. Are you listening to me? That light made all the difference. That light was my way through that cave. I could not have gotten through it without the light. No way. Have you ever been in total darkness?
Yes.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about total darkness.
Yes.
Darkness you can literally feel. That's cave. I'm talking about zero light. You can't see that. Nothing. You ever been there in your life spiritually? When the darkness just creeped in on your soul? You didn't know which way to go. You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't know what to do. That's why the Lord gave us this book.
Amen.
When I refer to this book, I'm talking about the King James Bible.
Amen.
We believe it.
Yes,
we don't believe it has errors.
Amen.
We don't believe it's archaic. We believe it's true from beginning to end. Somebody help me right there. I don't ride a hobby horse, but I'm going to mention it every now and then. Amen. We still authorize version folks around here. Amen. I believe every word's in there for a reason. Be honest with you. When I get in the cave, when I get in a dark place, and when I get down, the last thing I want to do is get my flashlight out.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody help me.
Right.
You get discouraged, you ain't hungry to read your book.
Right.
The devil's smart.
Amen.
He says, if I can get you in a dark place and take away the light you have, I can keep you in a dark place. Because without the light, you'll never be able to navigate your way out.
Amen.
The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
A lamp unto my feet. That lamp under your feet shows you where you are. Hey, some of you this morning ain't got a clue where you're at. You say, oh yeah, I'm at Happy Valley Baptist Church. I'm talking about spiritual.
Come on.
Some of you are at Happy Valley Baptist Church this morning physically. But I don't know where you're headed.
Right.
And I don't know where your heart's at.
Amen.
Some of you don't need it. We can convince ourselves we're right where we're supposed to be when we're somewhere totally off. God came to Elijah in our text and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? He came to Adam in the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was. He needed Adam to know where Adam was. Are you listening? We need to find out where we are. And without some lamp under our feet, we'll not ever know where we're at. We came to a place in the cave as we were tubing through there, and there was a hole in the top, and light was coming in. He said, now we're going to get out here. He said, make sure your headlamps are pointed down and watch your footing. We got out and we climbed up these rocks. He said, it's slippery, it's wet, so be careful where you step. You can get hurt. Without that light, I don't know where I'm putting my food. For all I know, I'm putting it on the head of a crocodile. I was sure there's one living in there. We're going to get out and we're going to walk up these rocks and we're going to climb up on this little cliff and we're going to dive off in the water. We can't see. I said, y'all are. My wife did that too. That's a brave woman. She jumped right off. There she went. I said, well, it sure was good. She dove right off in it. What I'm trying to say is we need some light from God's word this morning to show us where we are, where we stand spiritually. I know husbands and wives who have faked it for so long. You don't even know where you're at in your relationship. My wife and I know it's probably bad to do, but we go on a date. Used to go once a week. Now ain't no kids at home. We go every chance we get. It's cheaper for us to eat out than they go. That's than eating a hot dog. But we watch people. We play games. And try to figure out who they are and what they do. That's bad, ain't it? But we watch people. And we see people in restaurants all the time, our age or older. I'm talking about 50s and 60s. Sit there and eat an entire meal. Husband and wife never speak. Never say a word. Ain't got nothing to talk about. You got husbands and wives. You don't even know where you're at in your marriage. You just take it for granted that it's still going to be there tomorrow.
That's right. Amen.
We need that lamp to show us where we are. But then he said, thy word is a light under my path.
Amen.
That lamp doesn't just show me where I am, but that light shows me where I'm going.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be very good on my pickup truck if my light's just pointed at the ground.
Amen.
That'd be pretty rough driving late at night if your headlights just shine straight down on the ground. Thank God they stick out there a little ways.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's something called high beams.
Amen.
I've even got lights on my truck for when it gets fogged. I'm glad God's got a light for every situation.
Amen.
Follow your guide, finds you some light. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter number 10. You know this verse too. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25.
Amen.
Let's do it carefully. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
What's it say? First two words.
Not
forsaken. Not to, what does it mean to forsake? I'm going to show you what it means. It's more than quit. Hey, some of y'all quit, but you're still sitting here. Can you get out of church a long time before you get out of church? Here's what it means to forsake. Me and old brother Freddy's in peace and fellowship. Something changes. I don't just quit. I walk away.
Yeah.
He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The end, friend. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I said, number one, follow your guide. Number two, find your light. Number three, forsake not your group. Listen to me. We have got to stick together.
Amen.
You say, preacher, we're living in hard times. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Right.
That crazy woman gets elected, we're in a mess.
Amen.
I'm going to trust God whatever the outcome is.
Amen.
Don't vomit on me. Some of you look like that turned your stomach. I ain't voting for a baby-killing liar. Trouble's coming. You know what they're going to do? They're going to stop what we're doing. There's some lobbyists in Washington, D.C. right now that love to put a lock on that door. They'd love to stop us from preaching in the street. They'd love to stop us from handing out gospel tracts. They'd love to stop me from preaching truth and calling it a hate crime. We don't know what trouble is. We're not having hard times. You don't believe it? Go to Old Charlie. As soon as church is over, look how long you've got to wait to get a table. We don't know what hard times are. But hard times are coming. And we're going to need each other. We need each other now, but we're going to need each other down the road.
Amen.
Forsake not your church. Stay together. Stay faithful. I don't know what people do without church. I drive by funeral homes and see five or six cars in the parking lot. I thought, that poor family ain't got a church.
That's it.
Somebody dies in this church, you can't get in the place sideways. Why? Because the church is
Amen.
Thank God for the church.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I feel sorry for these people who meet in these small groups on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's more to my church than a cell group.
Amen.
You take the church for granted. Forsake not your group. We got in that river. He said, I want you to put your cloaks in and get over here where it's real shallow. And the wife of that other couple was in the front float, and then the husband, and then my wife, and then me, and then our guide. We lined our floats up, single file. And Thomas did something, and I didn't understand what he was doing. He reached in his back pocket and he pulled out a rope. And Brother Freddie, he started tying the floats together. When he got done tying the floats together, he tied the end to the end. I said, "What are you doing, Thomas?" He said, "We cannot get separated." He said, "It's important that we stay together." He said, "I don't want to lose anybody."
Yeah.
In the cave.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You get in a cave, the very first thing the devil wants to do, very first thing he wants to do is isolate you. Get you over here all by yourself. You know I'm right. You get depressed, you don't want to come to church. You get depressed, you don't want to see anybody. You don't want to answer the phone, you don't want to talk to anybody. You want to pull your covers over your head and be there with you and your men for real long. If the devil gets you isolated and he gets you alone, he can and will defeat you. It's hard to quit when you got 50 people patting you on the back. I say, but by the way, thank you. I already told a couple of men this morning, thank you. I've got, over the last 2 weeks, I've got some of the sweetest text messages from men in our church. Preacher, we love you. I'm praying for you. I've always got your back. Man, I drove down the road, read them, then just wiped tears from my eyes. Thank God for my group. I'm glad with this bunch I'm tied up with. Amen. Hey, outside the walls of this place, the city may say we're crazy. Other churches may say we're a bunch of nuts. But thank God for the family of God that I'm tied up with. I'm not going to forsake my group.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Don't forsake your group. Man. Glad I'm tied up with this group.
Amen.
That cave ain't no place to be alone.
Amen.
Ain't no place to be alone. Everybody who kills himself. And we all probably have been touched by that. They don't do it in the crowd.
Nope.
Right.
Do it when you're all alone.
Right.
Don't let the devil get you. You don't feel like coming to church, it's probably when you most need to breathe.
Yes,
have you ever, maybe a Wednesday night, got in from work and I don't feel like going. I'm just, if I go, I'm going to be a hindrance. That's the biggest lie the devil ever told me. It's more of a hindrance when you ain't here because the preacher's not thinking about the message. He's worrying about where you are.
Right.
Just kind of kick yourself in the rear end and make yourself go anyway. And on the way home, you have this thought. Woo!
Yes.
Well, I'm glad I went. I'm glad I went. I'm glad they sang that song. I'm glad he preached that message, man. I'm glad I didn't let the devil talk me out of staying
on.
Never fails. The Lord will put somebody on my heart. People get mad sometimes because I preach about the situation they're in. That's my job.
Amen.
If I preach stuff that didn't pertain to you, what good would it be?
Amen.
I'm not going to point you out and call you name, but if I preach something that you're going through, chances are I know about it. Sometimes I don't. It's just the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Lord will put somebody on my heart and burden me with somebody and give me a message that I believe is tailor-made just for their situation. And I get to church.
Yeah.
You can lay on the couch and watch it on the internet. But it ain't the same.
Amen.
Some of you that are using the excuse, well, I just don't come because now I can sit home and watch it on the internet. The internet's not for people who can come.
Amen.
The live streaming is for Granny Faye.
Amen.
And Brother Jason, when he had his service, it's for people who can't come. I'm telling you, watching on the internet, thank God for it, man.
Right.
And by the way, everybody's been telling me for 2 weeks it sounds bad. Static. But anyway, thank God for it.
Yeah.
Thank God for that new camera.
Yeah.
Thank God we can use technology in a good way.
Amen.
But I watched when I was out of town. When I was in Colorado, I watched. And it was mighty good. But it wasn't like being here. There ain't nobody to go to the altar with you at home. There's something special about being in this place. Find your life. Follow him, God. Forsake not your group. Listen, your group's going to make you mad. You're going to have disagreements. You ever had a disagreement with your wife? You can raise your hand, bunch of cowards. You didn't leave her, did you? You ever had a disagreement on your job? You didn't quit that, did you? Well, I can't just leave my wife. You can't just leave the church, eh? Well, I can't leave my job. I'm dependent on that. You better be dependent on your church, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Last verse, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I hate church. I wish cave experiences were not a part of life. But they are. I wish no one ever got lost in a cave and never come back. But we've seen it too many times. It's just a reality. That's why the world has to have a people. That's why the world's got to have a shrink. They don't have what we have.
Amen.
Shame on us when we don't use what we have.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look with me in verse number 13. The Bible said there hath no, say the word with me. I wouldn't change the Bible for nothing, but that temptation could be a testing, could be a trial, it could be trouble.
Sure.
Amen. It could be discouragement.
Amen.
It could be depression. Amen. There hath no temptation taken you, watch this, but such as is common to man. You ever got in a place and you think nobody understands what you're going through? You're convinced ain't nobody ever been where you're at. Bible said that.
Amen.
I promise you, if you'll look around, you'll find somebody who's been through what you're going through and made it. Probably find somebody who's gone through worse than what you're going through and made it. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You're not alone. You're not the only one that's ever been in a cave. But the devil makes you feel so isolated that you feel like you're the only one. You may be surprised how many people sitting in this room are in the darkness right now, trying to find their way out.
Amen.
There had no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. I love this next phrase.
Yes.
Woo. But God is
faithful.
I just like the sound of it. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
But God is faithful. And we ought to serve a thankful God. And we're a bunch of unthankful servants, but we're serving a thankful Savior this morning. And God is faithful.
Amen.
What's He faithful to do? Look at the rest of it. We will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to, say the last word. Escape. Listen, I said number one, follow your guide. Number two, find your life. Number three, forsake not your group. Number four, and I'm done. Focus on your exit. Focus on your exit. Okay, God, you've got me here. Let me figure out why and get me out. If I've got to go through this cave, Lord, let's figure it out quick. The longer you dwell, the worse shape you get in. The longer you dwell on the difficulty and the trouble and the trial, the worse it gets. It just gets darker and darker and darker and darker.
Amen.
Old Thomas is sitting behind me talking about that barbecue chicken. He said it was on the smoker when we left. I done seen about a mile of cave. I done seen enough bats. I done seen enough stalactites and stalagmites. I've got ADD bad. Of course, I had it before there was ADD. They called it hyperactive, and you got a whooping for it.
Yeah.
Now they got a tail. I got my tail tore up. Bad parent, I had a disease. What I'm trying to say is I've been sitting that float about as long as I've been sitting that float. I leaned back and I said, "Hey, Brother Thomas." "Yeah." I said, "How much longer is this going to last?" He said, "Just look ahead." He said, "Just keep your eyes looking ahead." I said, "Yeah, but how much?" He said, "No, I'm not back here. Look ahead."
Amen.
You won't find your way out looking back.
Amen.
He never did tell me how much longer it was. He said, "Just look ahead."
Amen.
See, he knew what was coming. I did not.
Yeah.
He said, "Don't look behind. Look forward."
Amen.
Yeah, but how much longer? And then always our question, how much longer? Are we there yet? How much longer I got to deal with this? Just look ahead. Just look ahead. Focus on your exit. Brother Andy, Eugenia, you put that picture up there. We come around the next bend in the river, and Thomas said, "Are you looking?"
Yeah.
What are you talking about, first sight? I can see my way out.
Ooh.
For over a mile, I've been in darkness. For over a mile, I've been in a cave. But as I come around that last bend, I see the sun. I wonder how many times we give up and we quit in the cave just before we see the sun. I'm telling you, hang in there. Look ahead. Preacher, my mom, my dad went in the cave of cancer and never come out. Oh, if they were saved, they did.
Yeah.
Hey.
Amen.
They didn't just see the illustration of the sun, they saw him. And they still are. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod, my staff, they come with me." Thank God. We do have to go through trials. But they do have an ending.
Amen.
Do you know what's on the other side of that hole? Barbecue chicken. The only way to get to that chicken was to go through that cave. I know that's comical, but won't you make an application? There's something worth going through this cave for. My children are worth making it through the cave. My marriage is worth making it through the cave. My ministry is worth making it through the cave. Amen. My relationship with God is worth making it through the cave. My mental stability is worth making it through the cave. Some people give up and they quit looking for a way out.
That's right.
And they succumb to the thought that this is just my life. No joy, happiness. The Bible said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
I know there's days when we can't shout. Those days shouldn't turn into months, and those months shouldn't turn into years.
That's right.
When I preached this message here a few weeks ago, somebody came up to me after church and said, "Preacher, did you know that there are people who go through caves? It's their hobby. They call it plunking. They go in caves because they want to." I know Christians just that way.
Amen.
They'd rather have a pity party than shout. They'd rather everybody feel sorry for them and have joy and peace in the house. Listen, you don't have to die in a cave. You don't have to stay in a cave. Because one day, we're going to talk to y'all coming, get a song. One day, a man went in a cave for me.
Yeah.
Woo. One day they put a man on the cross at Calvary.
That's right.
And there he suffered and bled and died. And he went into a cold, dark hole in the ground. But thanks be unto God, 3 days later he arose. And because he came out, I can come out. And because I can come out, honey, you can come out. You ain't got to die in your cave this morning. Somebody ought to get on this altar and say, "God, get me out of this cave. Lord, let me learn what I'm supposed to learn to get me out of here."
Amen. Right.
And our feet all the time. Caves are coming. If you're not already in, follow your guide.
Amen.
Find your light. Forsake not your group. Focus on your exit. Focus on your exit. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. I don't even know how to get with you.